Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, September 28th, 2023. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adioye Jr. Joining me is LaCroix Poppy himself, a.k.a. my fellow Forbes 30 under 30, a.k.a. Tim Ma-fucking Gettys.
Oh, it feels good to be here.
Feels good to have you here.
What a weird day. You know what I mean?
What a wild
Nothing
day
to
of
talk
news.
About. A lot of sad shit to talk about. So that kind of really sucks.
Yeah,
really,
a lot of big, really a lot of big sad shit to talk about.
Yeah, a lot of big shit.
Yeah,
one of the megatons of the games industry for us to talk about today. Me and you, Bless. It's going to be a wild one.
Me and you. Let's not waste any time because today's stories include Jim Ryan, the president of PlayStation, steps down. Wow. Epic is making some epic layoffs and more because this is kind of, that was bad. And I ad-libbed that too. I didn't have that written down.
Yeah. You got that though.
This is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code Kinda Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, head to kindoffunny.com/KFGD to write in with your questions, squad ups, and more. And remember, patreon.com/kindoffunny will get you the show ad-free plus a bevy of bonus content. Housekeeping for you, our Spider-Man 2 review is coming Monday, October 16th at 7 a.m. Pacific time. I have a code. So many of us here kind of funny. Stand up.
I have a code.
Tim, how are you feeling about this?
Extremely excited.
Now that we've started the game.
We have not yet started the game, but I'm very excited too. It is currently downloading for me at home. Cannot wait to get home. Cannot wait to play.
Yeah.
It's happening, Bless. It's all happening. Then October 16th, we're going to talk about it.
We're going to talk all about it. Yeah, I was telling you that last night. I was wrapping up Cyberpunk 2077 in anticipation that we could get codes today. And I was like, okay, I got to get this out the way. I got to finish the game. Of course, I've been like holding off on doing the final mission of Cyberpunk 2077, the new mission that unlocks after you do the DLC, until I clear out enough of the side stuff that I want to do. But yeah, yesterday being kind of like my deadline, I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. I started that mission. I got halfway through that mission and then I cut off the game and went, I can't do this.
I love that. That is so, so special. We always talk about Cool Greg being obsessed with Harry Potter, but having never actually watched the seventh movie or read the seventh book.
And it's so wild because like I've never had this happen to me in a video game where I was like, I can't finish this. And I, for me, it was the thing of I have done enough in Cyberpunk where I feel so good about my character build. I love the gameplay of my character. I uploaded the video a few days ago of me doing like the cool katana shit. I actually spec'd out of the katana shit. You get one respec.
Oh
yeah, I spec'd out of the katana shit to put a lot more points into my cool stat.
Oh hell yeah, we got a cool guy over here.
Because cool stat is where you get all the cool pistol stuff, pistol and sniper. And I think especially coming out of Starfield where I did mainly pistol stuff. I'm in the pistol.
You're a pistol boy.
I'm a pistol boy, right? I'm in the pistol mood. Poppy. Pistol poppy. I'm in a sniper mood as well. Uh-huh. And so put all my points into cool and then had to make the sacrifice to katana, though I'm slowly rebuilding up katana. But like I did all that. I went in to my cyberware, redid all my cyberware, and like I'm like, dude, I am so ready to get into shootouts right now. And I was like, you know what, man? Let's have fun in this final mission. Let's do this final mission. I'm looking for some combat. I'm sure the final mission is gonna have combat for you. And I got into it. I'm not gonna spoil anything, obviously, but like it is not what I expected.
Yeah.
It is such like a, hey, we're saying goodbye to this type mission. And I was not ready.
I love that.
I got halfway
man.
And I was like, I cannot do this right now. I started getting emotional while playing. I was like, no, not yet.
Has that
not
happened yet. To you before? Like, is
no.
there another game? Wow.
Like, I don't
so
think
cool.
I've ever, if you know me, I'm somebody who likes, I mainline shit, right? Like I do side quests here and there, but usually if I'm doing a big open world game or a big open world RPG, I'm doing like 60 to 70% mainline. And then 30 to 40% side content, right? Like most of the bulk of my time is going to be spent doing the mainline content because I want to see what that core content looks like. If I'm going to do side content, it's going to be interspersed with me doing the main quest. Once I finish a game, it's over. Like I'm usually not going back. In very rare instances, am I going back. And so, yeah, like I've never put it off this much to where I'm like, maybe I'll pick it up someday in the future after Spider-Man 2 and all these games to continue doing side stuff. But yeah, like I can't finish it. I can't finish it right now.
Hey, dude, that's awesome. Maybe at some point we should have you finish on stream, like make a big celebration of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Keep that in mind for 2024.
Yeah. Shout out to Cyberpunk, man. Like, shout out to this game that went through so much ups and downs and some really low downs.
Yeah.
To now emotionally impact you this much, I think that's incredibly special. And like,
are you gonna go back?
Games. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you guys are kind of selling me on this. I'm a little worried time-wise at this point, but I'm very interested in playing through Phantom Liberty. Not Phantom Liberty. Yeah.
No. Yeah. Phantom Liberty. Yeah. Phantom Liberty.
What a cool ass name.
I think you're gonna really like Idris Elba in that DLC because I make fun of
rapping,
his.
I'm here for it.
Wait, what was that?
Him rapping.
Oh, him rapping. Oh, yeah. I haven't heard him rapping yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I just saw it from the internet. Like, yeah, someone sent me it, and I was listening to it, and then Gia overheard me listening. She's like, is that Idris Elba? I'm like, yeah, it is. She's like, why? And I'm like, well, he's in a video game. She's like, that doesn't answer the question.
What's weird is that, well, one, yeah, he does make music. And I only know this because of Macklemore, because he was on a Macklemore song a while ago.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
I think it was Dance Off.
Dance Off,
which, funny enough, back when I lived in Seattle, I auditioned to be in the music video for Dance Off.
Holy shit.
Didn't get into it, obviously. Damn. But like,
hear the full story on a Kind of Funny Next Gen podcast.
That's incredible.
It's one of my most embarrassing stories, actually. Because, God, I don't want to tell this here. But during the audition, basically, there's a part. So they have everybody come together and like dance at the same time in groups, right? Yeah. So they have maybe
aggressively at each other.
Well, no, not like that. But like for the judges, right? They have judges in front of the room. They call up people in like, let's say, groups of 10 to 15, and they have all you guys audition at the same time. And then the judges pick out, okay, we want this person to stay, right? And like the rest of you are dismissed. So while I'm standing in line waiting to audition for this thing, people are like going back and forth on strategies. They're like, oh, you want to stand in the front to make sure you can get seen. You want to do big movements, all this stuff, right? And so we go up, I make sure to get in the front, and like the music goes, we're all dancing at the same time. And I'm like, oh, I'm not killing it right now. Like I'm not bringing the right energy. I'm not bringing the right flair. And so there's my signature move. One of my signature moves, Tim, is this front flip type move, right?
Where I go, I'm so happy that Nick is here to hear this right
Nick
now.
Giggling in the background.
The blessing signature move is a front flip. That's the coolest thing
I got
thing
like
ever.
A front flip that I do. That's like more of a front handspring.
Do you have
but
a
like,
name for it?
I kind of launched myself. No, I don't really have
We got to come on with a name for blessing signature front flip move, everyone.
But like, you know, I basically I turn. I'm glad I'm telling this story on what's going to be very much like a high clicked episode. but I turn. I lift my leg up to go for it. I go for the flip, and like I always land this thing. It's never a problem landing
thing.
I go for it. My leg catches the judge's table. I fall. The table collapses.
No!
I look back. The judges have this horrified look on their face. And when I tell you, you know, I'm doing that while 10 to 15 other people are dancing at the same time. There's also like 70 people in the room waiting to get their turn. So I do this in front of like 100 people.
That's what I call breakdancing.
I do that, and I'm in my mind, honestly, what I hope is that that story got back to Macklemore.
Yeah,
I'm hoping that like along the line someone was like, oh dude, you should have seen this guy who was fucking auditioning who tried to do a front flip and collapse our judges table and we're all fucking scared.
I love that.
But like
you, but
the worst part is like I did that, and you know, it's obviously embarrassing. I look up, I see like some dudes on the side, like they're like, oh shit, like, you know, it's like, and it's people I know because I was in the Seattle dance community. And so, like, I do that, and I'm like, oh, fuck, what do I do now, right? Like, and I think back to what they always say for stage, right? The show must go on. And so I get up, I keep dancing.
Just dancing, everybody.
Well, this fucking table's on the floor. I just kept going.
No talking to anyone. Just keep dancing.
I'm like, I don't know what to do. I'm just gonna keep dancing, I guess. Holy shit. Oh, man. More housekeeping for you. Are you ready to role play? This Friday, the Kind of Funny crew and special guest Sage Ryan will take you on an epic journey at the table as Nick Scarpino DMs our first ever D&D session. Come join the table and roll some dice with us Friday, September 29th, 2023, exclusively live on Twitch and then later on YouTube as a VOD. And then it's the final week of September here on Twitch, and it's a great time to take advantage of the sweet discounts when you subscribe to our channel. If you want to enjoy ad-free viewing, channel emotes, and more, you can save 30% off on 3-month and 6-month extended subscriptions. If you want to give back to the community, gifted subs on Twitch are now 25% off as well, so you can give the power of ad-free viewing to your best friends. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Brave Athos, Jedi Master Deadpool, and Delaney Twining. Today we're brought to you by Rocket Money, Shady Rays, and DoorDash, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have 7 stories today.
A Baker's Dozen!
Starting with our number one, PlayStation boss Jim Ryan is set to retire next spring. This is Alex Stedman at IGN. The news first broke via a post on X/Twitter from Bloomberg's Jason Schreier before Sony confirmed it with their own announcement shortly after. Hiroki Totoki will assume the interim CEO role starting on April 1st, 2024. The Sony Corporation president, COO, and CFO will also become chairman of SIE starting next month to support Mr. Ryan in his transition, Sony said. Additionally, Sony said Totoki will work closely with Sony Group Corporation chairman and CEO Kenichiro Yoshida to navigate PlayStation's future, including the succession of the SIE CEO role. In a statement today, Ryan cited the difficulty of living in Europe while working in North America as a reason for the decision. Quote, "After 30 years, I have made the decision to retire from SIE in March 2024," Ryan said in the statement. "I've relished the opportunity to have a job I love in a very special company, working with great people and incredible partners, but I found it increasingly difficult to reconcile living in Europe and working in North America. I'll leave having been privileged to work on products that have touched millions of lives across the world. PlayStation will always be part of my life, and I feel more optimistic than ever about the future of SIE. I want to thank Yoshida-san for placing so much trust in me and being an incredibly sensitive and supportive leader," end quote. The move, of course, is a massive shakeup in the industry, especially as the PlayStation division has been a lucrative one in Sony. In July, Sony said the PlayStation 5 has sold 40 million units since the console's November 2020 launch, tracking slightly behind the PS4, but still a major milestone. Ryan started his career at PlayStation's European branch in 1994. He would go on to hold various leadership positions before replacing John Codera as president and CEO of SIE in 2019.
Absolutely wild. This is one of those breaking news stories yesterday that when it happened, I saw the tweet go up and like I couldn't help but out loud be like, oh my god, like Jim Ryan is retiring, and everyone in the office was like, what?
Yeah.
And it felt like that there's no way this is real, you know, and it came from Jason, and then pretty much immediately was
the confirmation
was
from
confirmed
PlayStation.
From PlayStation themselves. You know, it's always interesting when we see shifts in the gaming industry when it comes to like the top dogs and people leaving. And, you know, our first question is like, were they forced out? Did they leave by choice? Are they truly retiring, like restructuring? Like, what's going on here? This does read, and the amount of times the word retire is used, mm-hmm. reads in a more positive light than potential shenanigans. But you never know. You know,
of course,
we'll have to see how things shake out in the future. But it is just wild to think of how much this is the end of an era, the Jim Ryan era of PlayStation Studios, where you look at what PlayStation has become over the last 20 years, and he's been there in some way pretty much the entire time. But to have the control given to the European side of it all, as we see Herman kind of like take up lead, and then what that meant for the shift away from the Sean Layden era of everything, or even before that, Jack Tretton and all of them, to look at how PlayStation went from so much having that charisma and that personality on stage to Jim Ryan, who is kind of the opposite of all of that.
Yeah.
And I feel like in a weird way, we end up talking about him a lot because how things have evolved. We have Phil Spencer on one side, mm-hmm. right? For years, we had Reggie at Nintendo. Now, Doug Bowser at Nintendo has kind of taken up that spot, but I feel like hasn't really been given the opportunity to shine too much, but he likes getting out there. You know what I mean? Sure. Like you see him, like he's shaking hands, kissing babies. But when you have Jim Ryan, it's kind of like we only talk about him when he says something stupid.
Yeah. I think from the audience, Jim Ryan gets a lot of flack because he isn't the Phil Spencer. And like he isn't, even when you look back at PlayStation, I don't think PlayStation has had some biggest of personalities, right? But they, I feel like the PlayStation leaders in the past have at least had some semblance of like, you know, people identify Sean Layden as a personality, even though I feel like when Sean Layden was at the helm, a lot of people were hating on Sean Layden too.
I mean, it's all relative, right? And I think that it's important to bring in the context of the time and place that they were leading, where it's like, you know, Jack Tretton, there was a lot of personality there. It was just that meant something different for that era and like how much fun they had, even with the Kevin Butler stuff and all of that. But even going back before that with Ken, with the Ridge Racer and all that, that was the personality. It just what we were looking for from a gaming personality was different, because that was a pre-social media world, right? I feel like the idea of everybody having this like public persona that they're putting on, whether you're a CEO or just random fans or whatever, I think that landscape has changed so much of what we expect from transparency from these companies and what personality means these days. At this point, means Phil Spencer. And that is a very, very, very high bar in terms of how open he is and how open Xbox strategy is in terms of pushing him as a face, and not even just him, but the team around him. Whereas PlayStation, I feel like Sean Layden had, you're right, like even during the time, it's like, oh, I miss the old days. That's how things always go.
Yeah, that's
right?
How people always are.
Yeah. But Sean Layden, like, he had the moments, right? The t-shirt reveals, the, like, that whole vibe to him. There was an ethos to Sean Layden where I feel like Jim Ryan, like...
I think Jim Ryan's ethos is often tied to PlayStation as a cold-hearted business and PlayStation's, I guess, evolution over the last, let's say, 5 years into becoming that more and more. And I think to some level, that was probably going to happen regardless of Jim Ryan or not. I think whoever was at the helm would have kind of been part of that flow, because as you get more and more successful, as you have more and more money that you have to deal with and more corporations that you have under you, right? Like, I think you have to focus more on, all right, what is the business that needs to get done? How do I manage these teams? How do I do my job, as opposed to how do I get out there and relate to the gamers and make sure they know that I play video games and all that stuff, right? Like, I think there's a time and place for that stuff. I think Phil Spencer on the Xbox side is doing a wonderful job of trying to be both a leader, but then also being somebody who is a face and people can look to, right? Because the whole conversation on the Xbox side of things is that, hey, we are trying to, and for the last decade, I'd say, we have been trying to win back the trust and love from our audience, right? We have been trying to identify with our audience and build a community. And for me, the thing I identify, especially when I look at Twitter or I look at social media, I can identify so many of the Xbox personalities in the space, right? I can identify the Xbox content creators in the Xbox community, right? I see Paris out there. I see so many other people out there, Miles out there, that are like, hey, we're Xbox and we love Xbox. And like, even though we're on like we're in quote unquote third place, like we rock for this hard. I feel like on the PlayStation side, that
even then, sorry, just to add to that, like the Aaron Greenbergs, the Sarah Bonds, Steins.
There's an ethos to even like, the levels of personalities that work at Xbox. We're on the PlayStation.
Major Nelson, not now, but until now.
And PlayStation obviously has like all of those same roles, but you know, there is less of the front-facingness of like, hey, like I feel like Shuhei Yoshida is one that we identify, partly because Beyond was like, hey, let's put Shuhei Yoshida out there because we're friends with Shu and all this stuff, right? Like, you know, in the PlayStation era, I guess leading up to, let's say, 2016, 2017, I think you had spurts of that, but like past that, I feel like it becomes few and far between. Like even in the last State of Play, well, was it Sean Benson, I believe was her name? Like that was the first time where I feel like I saw her, you know, represented in a showcase like that. And that felt cool and that felt foreign.
And it wasn't, you know, I mean, State of Play was birthed in the Jim Ryan era. And that was, I think, the greatest example of how we view PlayStation and how PlayStation presents themselves, where it is just a disembodied voice.
Dude, I think back to GDC during the PS5 reveal where it was Mark Cerny. And it was Mark Cerny standing. Oh, thank you for this, Barrett. Yeah, I nailed it. Sean Benson. It was Mark Cerny standing in front of the silhouettes of unreal people, and like, you know,
he snuck onto the set of Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Exactly, and he gives like this very dry presentation, dry in a good way, because like Mark Cerny is smart as hell, right? He killed it. But like, it's him giving this dry presentation of what the specs and the technical elements of the PlayStation are going to be, and that's what PlayStation has evolved into. But that's also on the business side has worked so well for PlayStation. And I think for all the flack that Jim Ryan has gotten for being a bit more, I guess, dry on the personality side, he's done a lot of good stuff for PlayStation. He's really led on the business side, right? The PlayStation 5 is super successful.
That's the thing. I mean, like, they're even talking about it here where it's like not quite tracking what PS4 is, but that's because of the pandemic and the supply shortages and all of that. Otherwise, like, all the numbers demonstrate that the PS5 is is skyrocketing, and I think over at the end of the life cycle, it will be more successful than the PS4. And that is just continuing the momentum of dominance that PlayStation has had. And that is based on the fact that in this generation and generations at this point, PlayStation treats its studios more similar to the top Disney type Hollywood studios of pushing out these giant AAA like loss leader games, right? They're the games that are so damn expensive to make, but it adds a level of prestige and understanding of PlayStation is the blockbuster title. PlayStation is the game, multiple games a year probably, that they want gamers to think of when they think video game. You know what I mean? And that is, you know, there's a lot of wins there. Obviously, there's losses too, depending on how you're looking at it. But I feel like PlayStation's success has always been pushing that as much as possible while also staying true to other initiatives. And you see them every couple of years, it's like clockwork. They really invest in the indie scene, and then it kind of then it just like tapers out.
Like the beginning of that of a new console, right? It's like, hey, we need more software. We need more like things to promote. And then, as it goes, it's...
But it is interesting to look at like the teams that they have working on all that stuff now, like bringing up Shu, right? And like the power that they have given him, whatever that means, to be able to oversee like that area of stuff, or even Greg Rice over there. Like they have the right people working on the indie side of things. I just wonder what's next, right? We know that they're talking about having this interim president. There's going to be another one. They're talking about searching for them.
Yep.
When they end up being announced, whenever that is, taking over next April, I wonder how much they're going to rock the boat and like redefine what PlayStation can be, or is it doubling down on what PlayStation is?
I want to bring in this question from Michael D'Angelo.
Sorry, before you do that, redefine what it is, but also with the context of what we're seeing it become, where everything we just said, we haven't even in this entire 22 minutes talking about this, brought up the fact that PlayStation's strategy seems to be shifting towards multiplayer and
There's so much to get into with that, right? Yeah. And I think before I even get into the question, in terms of, you know, what's the story here? Why now? Why all this stuff? I think there's a few things to point out. One, I think with every PlayStation leader stepping down, it's always felt the same way of, oh, wow, really? Like, oh, this is kind of out of nowhere. You know, like I feel like PlayStation leadership doesn't necessarily last for 10 to 15 years. I feel like it's always usually 5 years or so where you see somebody take the helm and then they retire or pass it on to the next person. I think there's that. There's also the fact that we are in the midpoint of a console generation. And so Jim Ryan being able to be there for overseeing the sunset of the PS4 era and then getting out the launch of the PS5 era, I think now is a better time to retire as opposed to getting toward the end of the PS5 era and going, all right, now I'm going to pass this on to somebody else to launch the PS6, right? Like, that's not really good timing in that sense. And so I think, you know, the way I read this is, I do read this as like, hey, legitimately, I do want to retire, and legitimately, like, it's hard to be in a Western, in an American business when I live in Europe and like I have to fly and all these things, right? And I have a family that I probably want to, you know, tend to and, you know, be around my family and all this stuff. So again, you know, I guess congratulations to Jim Ryan for retiring.
Yeah, no, and for doing all in all great job. When you look at the goals and success of the PlayStation 5, nailed it. And again, when you look at the issues of Jim Ryan, most of the time was putting his foot in his mouth. Like, there were examples that were like a little worse than that.
I don't say all this to say that Jim Ryan is infallible, because there's so many foul aspects of Jim Ryan.
I mean, like the old game stuff,
the cat email that he said after the abortion laws changing, right? And like him kind of being like, oh, but let's talk about my cats and let's support, you don't need to take a side. Like, it's like, okay, no, that's
dumb shit.
I'm not the biggest fan of the whole shift toward games as a service and stuff, but like, the proof's in the pudding. We'll see when we get there.
Mm-hmm.
But to bring in this question from Michael Restive D'Angelo, who writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can, they write in and say, hi, y'all. An end of an era has arrived. Jim Ryan is stepping down from PlayStation, although no real details have been revealed. But based on the timing, seems like the typical retirement. The PS5 is mid-generation, and work on the next gen was likely about to start. So getting out before it does makes a ton of sense. My question, however, is how do you think this will affect PlayStation as a whole? Do we know which initiatives that Jim championed that may not have that may not be as important? Is their path going to dramatically shift? Is it business as usual, and we can still expect the influx of Sony's games and services? Thanks for these years of entertainment, Michael D'Angelo. P.S. Epic layoffs make me sad, too.
Yeah.
This is a tough question.
It is. We don't know.
I would think that PlayStation hires somebody who is more, I think we get another Jim Ryan in the sense of somebody who is business, right? Somebody who is numbers, somebody who is probably going to, yeah, look at the games and service stuff and go, right, how do we really make the numbers off of this? That'll be my guess. That'll be my prediction.
My prediction is Phil Spencer's music hits.
Whoa.
He's just like, it's me, motherfuckers.
He's back.
Nah, I don't know how this is all going to shake out. I think you're right, though. I think it's going to be business as usual more than anything. Like, I don't think that they're going to get somebody in that's going to dramatically change things up, because why would they? They're number one. Having said that, they are clearly trying to shake things up. They are clearly trying to figure out what the secret sauce is to the games as a service and that level of monetization that they have so far only like barely tapped into, but they've clearly seen the results of through third-party examples like GTA Online or Fortnite. We got Tim Sweeney.
You got Tim Sweeney, which story number two,
he's on the market.
I don't know if that's the way we want to go, but yeah, like, I mean, we'll see. Like, there's names out there. Who this probably isn't the best person, but like, who was the person that just left?
Donald Mustard is what I meant to say, actually. Stig.
Hey, Stig, do you want to lead PlayStation?
Yeah. See, again.
But like, he did God of War 3.
Yeah, no, he did great stuff.
Did great stuff.
This is the thing, though, is I don't expect it to be like a studio head or even a former studio head that's taking that on. I think it will be very, very nuts and bolts business.
It might be somebody that is internal, whose name you've never heard of from the outside. Right?
Oh, absolutely.
Somebody who's making big waves on the inside of PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to see. We'll talk more about this on PS Love You. PS Love You, we want to talk specifically about, where does PlayStation go from here? And so you can write into kindoffunny.com/PSILY. And also, just a fun question, who do you want to beat the next president of the PlayStation? Let us know.
Chu-hey.
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 Chu-hey. Also, let us know on patreon.com/kindoffunny. What are your favorite shows over there? Because I'm going to point you over there. Of course, you can go and listen to Kind of Feudie. You can go and watch the Kind of Funny Next Gen podcast. You can go and check out so much more content. But also, you can go to kindoffunny.com/Patreon to get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by DoorDash. Did you burn your last piece of toast? Have the avocados gone bad? Is the hot sauce bottle empty? You could try grocery delivery from DoorDash. You'll get everything you want delivered when you need it right to your door. You've trusted DoorDash to deliver your restaurant favorites, and now you can get grocery delivery that actually delivers too. You already know how much all of us here at Kinda Funny love DoorDash, but with thousands of grocery stores to choose from, you'll find the best in your neighborhood and boost your local economy with each and every order. You'll get exactly what you ordered, or they'll make it right. You want even more value? You can save on all of your grocery and restaurant favorites with a $0 delivery fee on all eligible orders with a DashPash membership. With easy substitutes right in the app and best-in-class customer support, you can get 50% off your first DoorDash order up to a $20 value when you use code KINDA at checkout. That's 50% off up to $20, no minimum subtotal, and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code KINDA. Don't forget, that's code KINDA for 50% off your first order with DoorDash. This episode is brought to you by Shady Rays. Take on the sun with gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered for the warm weather ahead with premium polarized shades at an affordable price. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair we've worn. Durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures. And that's not all. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. Wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase. Every purchase supports the Shady Rays Impact Program, which works directly with nonprofits and their communities to empower and make adventure accessible for all walks of life. Exclusively for our listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. You can go to ShadyRays.com and use code KINDOFFUNNY for 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses. You can try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people. Again, that's ShadyRays.com. Use the code KINDAFUNNY. This episode is brought to you by Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending and it helps you lower your bills all in one place. And it has surprised multiple of my friends and people at Kind of Funny how many subscriptions they have that they forgot they are still paying for. That's why I'm such a big fan of Rocket Money. It's so easy to cancel the ones you don't want with just the press of a button. No more long hold times or annoying emails with customer service. Rocket Money does all the work for you. Rocket Money can even negotiate to lower your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is take a picture of your bills and Rocket Money will take care of the rest. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions and manage your money the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. That's rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. One more time, rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
And we're back with story number two. Fortnite maker Epic Games is cutting about 16% of staff. This is Jason Schreier at Bloomberg. Epic Games Inc., the maker of popular Fortnite video game, is laying off 870 employees, according to people familiar with the matter. The job cuts, which affect about 16% of its workforce, were announced in a memo to staff, said the people who asked not to be named, disclosing information that's not yet public. Epic didn't immediately reply to a request for comment. Employees who were affected by the job cuts will receive 6 months of severance and health insurance, as well as accelerated stock vesting. As in the broader tech industry, it's been a year full of layoffs across gaming companies, big and small. Last month, the Swedish gaming conglomerate Embracer Group AB shut down Illinois-based Volition, maker of the Saints Row games. Pokemon Go maker Niantic announced in June that it's closing its Los Angeles game studio and canceling NBA and Marvel titles in a restructuring that eliminated 230 jobs, or about 25% of its staff. I added this story this morning before the official news happened, but Epic did post on their website that, yes, layoffs are indeed happening, with a letter from Tim Sweeney. But again, it's another one.
It's another one, man. And you know, I think this one's different. This one is coming from the top of the top. We talk always about Epic being the example of, oh, they made it work. The money's there. This all makes sense.
One of the most profitable organizations in the business.
Period. And you look at that and you look at all the acquisitions that they've made. There's a lot of stories even like beyond this. Like I recommend everybody like go beyond Games Daily and like look into the ramifications of this and the people that go, because there's a lot of nuance to it, where like Bandcamp that they acquired, they're getting rid of it.
Yeah.
The other companies that they've acquired, they're just getting rid of. The team behind Fall Guys, a ton of them. When Fall Guys team, what is it, Mediatonic?
Mediatonic, yeah.
They get acquired by Epic. A lot of them are now let go.
Yeah.
And it's like
insane.
We're seeing how that all
On their website here,
Rocket League Psyonix as well.
Like, they have a thing here that is what was the scope of the layoffs? They say, we are laying off 830 employees, or 16% of jobs. About 2/3 of the layoffs were in teams outside of core development. Around 250 people are leaving Epic through our divestitures from Bandcamp and Super Awesome. We're cutting costs without sacrificing development or lines of businesses, so that means business functions are disproportionately impacted compared to development functions. Which, again, like, this goes back to conversations we have all the time and the back and forths on things like industry consolidation and acquisitions, right? Like, the scary thing when it comes to the consolidation is, hey, once a business gets bought, down the line, when layoffs happen at that, you know, that tip-top business, that means that is going to affect the people that are under them. And so now Bandcamp, who by themselves might have been fine, right, or might have been struggling here and there, might have been doing their own thing, now that they're under Epic, Epic's issues now become Bandcamp's issues, right? Now Epic's issues now become Mediatonic's issues and the Rocket League team's issues. And yeah, like it always sucks to see, like, again, we've talked about this in terms of the failures or the projects that maybe weren't super successful or maybe moderately successful or didn't do well enough. Here we're talking about Fortnite, mm-hmm. one of the biggest success stories in gaming, not just of the last 5 years, ever.
We're talking about Fortnite. We're talking about Rocket League.
Yeah.
We're talking about Fall Guys. Like
some of the biggest successes ever, right? You're talking about Epic, owner of Fortnite, owner of the Unreal Engine, right? Owner of the Unreal property. A company that's, I would say, not only doing well for themselves in terms of having these IP and having these properties that they're doing well with, but then also, you know, I think they've been doing a good job of trying to carve out new spaces and try different things, right? Like, I know we all roll our eyes at the, what do they call it? The metaverse type shit. And like Epic's been involved in that type of stuff too. But when I look at all the companies that are trying the metaverse stuff, I look at Epic and I'm like, maybe you can figure it out because you got Fortnite and you're halfway there already.
Dude, totally. I mean, I feel like the reality is Epic gets a lot right. And Epic are the ones pushing forward and defining the path of a new direction that the industry's never seen before. Mm-hmm. But that needs to come with an understanding that you can't be taking risks and making decisions that can result in this many people being just immediately laid off and their lives changing forever.
Yeah.
Because the goals of infinite growth weren't met. That's the problem with this, I think, mm-hmm. is that this all doesn't stem from things aren't working. This stems from more. Like, yeah. And it's like at some point, it's like there needs to be an understanding of, oh, cool, we've hit this and this is what this looks like. We can't just keep investing more into it to get more out of it. We've hit the kind of...
We got
to
grow smartly, not necessarily grow quickly.
Exactly. And, you know, that is the problem when a lot of times when acquisitions happen, there is a lot of redundancy. So there is the inevitability that when people are like re-strategizing what is going to be the future of the company, they look at it, they're like, we don't need all of this. We needed this. We acquired it for these elements, not for all of the elements. And the elements are people and human beings. And that's where it gets extremely upsetting. And these new stories that we're talking about week after week, and it just becomes so, like, I feel like we just say the same things of just like,
yeah,
you know, our thoughts are with them and like, this sucks and this needs to stop. The fact that it's just every company, period. And we're now talking about Epic doing it on this scale. It's beyond scary, beyond sad, beyond just being a problem. Mm-hmm. It is like, man, somebody needs to look at this and be like, yo,
let's learn from this. next time we are, you know, next time we have a company where it is, we're going to make big acquisitions or we're going to hire a lot of people or we're going to like make big changes or whatever. Let's look at companies like Epic or companies like Embracer, right? Two very different examples, but two, I think, examples that are involved in the same thing. When we talk about that fast growth and we talk about having this many people to be in charge of, let's look at these as examples and figure out, how do we treat these people better and not use people's lives as chess pieces, right? Yeah. Because when you start to lose that chess game, guess what? A lot of people are out of the business. 800 is a wild number.
Yeah,
that's an insane amount of people to lose their jobs. Barrett has here pulled up a tweet from TM that says, when a company that basically prints money lays off people in such a ruthless way, there's something seriously wrong with this with the industry. And on top of that, right, like I'll even add in, Janet shouted out this article the other week. I'm going to shout out this article again. It's an article from Stacey Henley from The Gamer titled, 2023 has been a horrible year for gaming. Right. And like it's the back and forth of what we've talked about, where we talk about how good of a year for game software it's been because there have been such incredible games dropping. There's been the Tears of the Kingdoms. There's been the Baldur's Gate 3s. There's been the Armored Cores. There's been the Diablo. There's been the Street Fighter. There's been so many good ass video games this year. But when you look into the business side of the industry, oh, man, this industry has been rough.
Went through
in
it,
2023. Yeah. And so I don't know, man, our hearts once again. And this is not the first time I'm saying this week. And it's Thursday. This might not be the last time I say it this week or even this episode, I guess. But our hearts go out to people that are losing their jobs, right? And I hope that y'all land on your feet. And yeah, like, keep your mind on people in this industry because it is rough out here when you're talking about jobs. Story number three. Sega has canceled Hyenas in some unannounced games in development. This is Tom Ivan at VGC. Sega has said it plans to cancel Creative Assembly's Hyenas and other unannounced projects. The move was announced on Thursday following a review of its games business. Quote, in response to the lower profitability of the European region, we have reviewed the title portfolio of each development base in Europe, and the resulting action will be to cancel Hyenas and some unannounced titles under development, it said. Accordingly, we will implement a write-down of work in progress for titles under development, end quote. Sega also plans to reduce its fixed expenses in Europe with a focus on cutting costs at Horsham, England-based Creative Assembly. Quote, "We'll implement reduction of various fixed expenses at several group companies in relevant regions, centered on the Creative Assembly Limited," it said. Quote, "We expect to incur one-time expenses related to reduction of fixed expenses," end quote. Creative Assembly has confirmed it'll be making redundancies across the company. Creative Assembly's next game, Total War Pharaoh, will be released on October 11th. Last August, the studio said it was working on a new action game, as well as another unannounced project. Announced last June, Hyenas is a robbery and extraction multiplayer shooter that was scheduled for release this year on PC, Mac, current and last gen consoles.
Wait, are you sure this isn't a story about fair games?
Actually, this might be a story about Concord.
I mean, it's like, seriously, I know we're joking about it, but it's like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
You're a bunch of morons that sit here and just react to news every day.
Yeah, right? we're fucking stupid.
Things happen and we're just like, oh, here's what I think, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it though that we keep being right?
Why is it like clockwork?
Why the fuck? Why? And then, you know, we go back to story number one. We're talking about PlayStation with all this stuff.
Yeah.
Do we really think that's going to go differently? Like, why would we? Oh. Why the fuck would we?
Like, how many robbery and extraction multiplayer shooters come out and take the world by fire, right? Like, what is, or take the world by storm, not by fire. Take the world by fire. That's like some Mortal Kombat shit. But take the world by storm, right? Like, it is few and far between. And yeah, like Hyenas,
they're just trying to all like catch up on that Payday train that was like really popular a decade ago, bless, you know?
Yeah,
it's even like Payday 3, you know?
It's playing catch up for a thing where it's like, I think by the time we get there, we're already gone, right? Like, it reminds me of the Avengers video game where that game was in development for so long and they're trying to chase this game as a service and put Avengers in it.
Avengers.
Yeah, and by the time they get there, like, we've already had so many other games as a service games that are doing it right. So when you only get it like a little bit right and a lot of it wrong, it's like, no, we don't have time for this.
And there's just 10,000 of them from everyone.
Yep.
Everyone is just doing this. And it's just like, and then what's it result in? Layoffs.
Yeah.
Studio closures. Failures across the board. And maybe they got that one little bit of money here. We expect to incur one-time expenses related to reduction of fixed expenses. Yes.
Yeah.
Of course. That's how this works. And that's the worst thing about all this. When we talk about majority of the stories we're talking about today, mm-hmm. there's just so much money being talked about. Like, these are people. These people cost so much money.
Oh, yeah.
And then even letting them off. 6 months of severance and the expedited stocks and all that stuff. That's going to cost Epic so much fucking money. Guess what? They have a lot of fucking money because that's all that it is money just being moved around.
Yeah. It's the way I get concerned for projects like Skull and Bones or projects like Suicide Squad, where both those are games that have been delayed to like forever. And let's look at Suicide Squad, for example. Suicide Squad was supposed to come out last spring. It is not coming up in the upcoming spring, I guess. I guess, like, let's say early 2024. Since
Groundhog Day.
February, right? Technically. I guess that's still winter.
February 2nd, the same day as Persona 3.
Groundhog Day. Reload. Happens over and over.
So it's gotten delayed into the next year out of spring. The expenses that you're talking about with that, right? Like, first of all, we always talk about delays being a good thing because that gives you more time to work on a game. You're not you're hopefully not crunching your workforce and all this stuff. When you talk about the expenses and when you talk about, cool, we're going to pay people for 9 more months, people whose salaries could be like, you know, anywhere from 5 figures to 6 figures, depending on, you know, what the roles are and all that. We got to pay 50, 100, 200 people that salary for another nine months to get this game out the door, a game that might fail. Like, yeah. A game that, when you look at what it is, like, I would say the chances are on the odds of it will fail.
Yeah.
Like, I hope it comes out and does good.
And
I hope
that's
it comes
not even
out
talking about marketing costs.
That's not, right? Yeah, that's not even talking about marketing costs.
And things like that.
It's like, dude, what are we doing?
What the fuck are we doing?
And then you look at Skull of Bones and it's like, that thing's been delayed forever.
Yeah.
And they're still paying to make it, right? Like, some people are still working on it.
Yeah.
They're still funneling money. They paid who?
The band to come on stage.
Oh, yeah, they did pay the band. I mean, that was a good, like, song.
It was, yeah, yeah. There's money everywhere, plus.
But, like,
throwing around.
When these games come out.
Except for, you know, paying people. Yeah.
And that's the thing is, I think the bummer of the story more so is just the layoffs part of it, obviously, as opposed to Hyenas getting canceled. Because I'm sure people were looking forward to Hyenas. I saw the debut of Hyenas, thought it looked neat, but also thought it looked like a lot of these other games. It getting canceled, honestly, is probably saving them more time and money. But the fact that people are losing their jobs because of this, that fucking sucks.
Yeah. Hyenas is canceled, bless.
Yeah.
There's something about that, everybody. Hyenas, Sega's Hyenas is canceled.
Yeah. Who would have thought? Tim, let's have some fun.
Let's please have some fun.
Story number four, we got a rumor report for you. All right. A new 3D Super Mario game reportedly is releasing in 2024 and will be open world.
Oh my God. All right. We're getting into the rumor verse.
We're getting
here.
Into
this
the rumor
real
verse.
Real deep into the. This is. Grains of salt big abound, old, everybody.
Big old grains of salt. I'm reading from Logan Moore at comicbook.com. It's a little bit of a longer read, so sit back, relax, let's have some fun. The first details associated with the next 3D Super Mario game have been unveiled in a new report, and it sounds like Nintendo is opting to go in a very different direction with the series. To coincide with the launch window of the Nintendo Switch back in 2017, Mario Odyssey came about and quickly became one of the platform's most popular games. Since that time, fans have continued to wonder where Nintendo when Nintendo would look to release another 3D Mario title. Luckily, it sounds like Mario's next adventure should be rolling out in tandem with Switch 2. Coming by the way of an insider named Zippo, who has reported accurate info in the past.
Also inaccurate. Zippo's a little iffy. Just want everyone to understand that. But
was he the Grinch guy?
Well.
Was he the Grinch leak theory?
No.
What have they gotten wrong and what have they gotten right, Tim?
I do not remember.
Okay.
But yeah, like, we're talking over the years of like every direct, everything. Yeah. So yeah.
Nintendo is preparing to release its next 3D Super Mario game in 2024. This entry is said to be rolling out as a day one release for the Nintendo Switch 2, which is what fans are dubbing Nintendo's an unannounced new console. It was also stressed that this won't be a sequel to Super Mario Odyssey, which means the game's title should be something completely new. Quote, "This will be a game for Nintendo next year. Mario will be a day one Switch 2 game, and I would bet serious amounts of money that this will be the very first game that we'll see running on their shiny new system," Zippo said in their blog. Quote, "This will be the first 3D Mario game to be a launch title since 1996's Super Mario 64.
I just got chills.
Which means this is a big freaking deal. Expect a very strong launch lineup from Nintendo and third parties alike," end quote. The biggest departure with this new 3D Mario title, though, is that it's said to feature a wholly open world. Although Super Mario Odyssey featured some vast open areas, Zippo notes that this new installment is going in an entirely different direction. They also added Nintendo's exploration of the open world format for Mario seemed to be a foregone conclusion following the success of The Legend of Zelda with Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom. On top of that, I got this tweet from Stealth, the homie on Twitter, who says, see, we've gotten some new Switch rumors, or Switch 2 rumors. Per Necrolip, Far Cry 7 is coming to Switch 2 at the same time as other platforms. And then per Zippo, a 2D Donkey Kong game is in development. The 3D Mario launch game is open world and, quote, jaw-dropping. Now, again, all of that, we're sprinkling grains of salt on there. Of course, with leaks... One, plans change.
Mm-hmm.
Two, sometimes Nintendo will give people false information to try to figure out who be leaking their shit. Mm-hmm. And so, like, again, none of this could be true. Some of this could be true. All of this could be true.
And then three, people like to make shit up for clout.
Yeah,
so, like,
three people like clout.
There's a lot going on. Having said that, I don't think anything being said here is out of the question, right? Like, I feel like if any of this happened, it'd be like, hell yeah, like, that makes sense. Not, whoa, I can't believe this happened. But I do think this is best case scenario in most ways and to most people. I know me and you would lose our shit
to get
what's being described.
I've dreamed about this Mario game. Like, back when I was playing Mario Galaxy 2, I forget the name of the level, but there was a level where it was a water level. You go on like any water level in Mario. You go underwater, but then, like, you know, the music kind of hit different in this level. Like, the vibes kind of hit different. And then you get to the end of the level, you arise, and you get, like, this serene view. And, like, you kind of come out of this in this garden, and, like, that was the end of the level. And I remember, like, feeling that and wishing for more of a, like, a weird 3D Mario game that would take place in, like, almost a realistic setting. And then they announced New Donk City, and I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Like, okay, this is getting closer to what I wanted. But the idea of playing a Super Mario game that is this open, interconnected, hey, I'm in the desert world and now I'm hopping over to the grass world over here. Oh man, I wish I had the link to it. I sent you a link a while ago to, like, somebody made a GIF of, like, what Mario 64 would look like if all the levels attached together.
Yeah.
And it was the coolest thing ever.
I mean, that's
like,
so
that's
sick.
The dream.
And, you know, we've been getting closer and closer. Like, I remember the Mario 3D World, there's a level where there's, like, this big kind of, like, desert grassy space. Mm-hmm. And then there's, like, a big tower you go up. And the way the camera pulls back as you're jumping down into that space, it just felt more vast than any Mario game ever has.
Yeah.
And I remember playing that for the first time being like, oh my God, I never thought that I'd see Mario this HD, this open, whatever. And then Bowser's Fury really took that the next step, which was like, all right, we had Odyssey on one side with these like pretty big open levels. Like I would honestly argue that Mario Odyssey levels are open worlds to themselves.
Yeah, I agree with
you
that.
You know, like especially with the focus on the gameplay kind of being that there are the moons everywhere. Like you can't walk 5 feet in Mario Odyssey without something catching your eye to be like, oh, if I get all these coins, I'll get a moon. Or if I jump on this thing, that'll happen or whatever mm-hmm. it is. And then Bowser's Fury being more like, all right, cool. Let's take the more obstacle-based challenges, the platforming challenges of 3D worlds and translate that to literally a giant open space where you are, everything is interconnected. So the idea of those games being as far removed as we are timeline-wise now, the idea that a Switch 2 is coming that's going to be more powerful, and that launching with what we can only assume to be a massive 3D open world Mario game.
That would be insane. Holy and I think, like, shit. I mean, what, when you look at the cadence of which they release Mario games, it's been, like, Mario Odyssey, even though it feels like it just came out yesterday, that was like 6 years ago. By the time we get a Switch, let's say Switch 2 comes out next fall, that would have been 7 years.
Yeah.
Like, I think
there is Bowser's Fury. I know that it's not like a full on core title, but I do think that it should count as much as Miles Morales counts when we talk about PlayStation Studios games.
Sure. I'll take it. But like when I think about, let's say Mario Galaxy 2. Mario Galaxy 2 came out what year? Like 2010?
Yes.
Is that about right? So like
Galaxy was 2007.
So let's say 2010 to 2017 when Mario Odyssey, that was 7 years. We're about to be as far away from Mario Odyssey as we were from Mario Galaxy 2 when Odyssey came out.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Totally. I mean, even when you...
It's
when you,
time.
It perfectly is. Like, thinking about Mario 64 to Sunshine to Galaxy, like...
That
I guess
can't
Sunshine
be
to Galaxy
right, hasn't. Man. No, Odyssey just came out, like, half a year ago, dude.
Mario Galaxy 2 came out in 2010. It is confirmed. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what else is crazy?
What's that?
I just saw this tweet. Pokemon Red and Blue came out 25 years ago today.
Fuck.
It's insane. That's really cool. Actually, no, I believe that actually feels right.
Yeah, that feels
right. That feels right because I was young. I was like 4 years
old.
And I was like 4 years old. So
insane.
And Tim was already an old man by then.
Yeah, Tim was doing taxes.
What's the gimmick going to be? Mario's always got to have a gimmick. What do y'all feel? Is it just that it's open world? But there's got to be something more, right?
He's going to have some extra thing.
He has to.
I don't know. Like,
I have no idea, man.
He has a sword this time, actually. I can be down for that. Could you imagine Mario with a fucking sword? Just like,
well, you're into
people?
Mechs now. Mech Mario, let's go.
Oh, actually, ooh. Mech Mario would be cool. they could tell me anything. In the last game, they fucking gave him a hat that talks. Actually, I don't know if Cappy talked.
I don't remember. Yeah.
Did Cappy talk?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah, they gave him a hat that talks.
I don't know if Cappy was voiced, but he had like dialogue that you could read.
And you would fucking throw the hat and then become the Goomba.
Yeah.
They can throw anything, and they'll somehow make it make sense.
Yeah.
Oh, man, Mario's shoes turn into a fucking mech, and I'm like, okay, cool. Makes sense.
Yeah.
I can't wait. And I'm going to play Mario RPG before we get that. And I'm going to play Mario Wonder. And I'm going to play a Princess Peach game.
Yeah, dude.
We're titled now. It's titled. It's showtime. Remember in the Super Smash Brothers Brawl reveal when Snake came out of a box and was like, showtime?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is that all weird to think back about? Like, y'all couldn't get David Hayter?
Yeah, I guess that is interesting that they chose to do that, but whatever.
Story number five, Scalper Swarm Van Gogh Museum for Pikachu promo card. This is Jordan Midler at Video Games Chronicle. The launch of the Pokemon Cross Van Gogh merchandise collaboration has led to swarms of scalpers on the first day of sale. The merchandise, which is being launched to celebrate 50 years of the Van Gogh Museum, which will include a statue, a plush, a tote bag, and more. Those who purchase any of the items will also receive a special Pikachu promo card, quote, Pikachu with gray felt hat.
Yes.
But following the release of the card, videos have appeared online of people swarming to the Van Gogh Museum to get their hands on the card. Those unable to visit the exhibition, which runs until January 7th, will be able to get the promo card by purchasing items from the Van Gogh collection via the Pokemon Center website.
Good fucking luck.
Right here we have footage of people at the Van Gogh Museum, scalpers at the Van Gogh Museum, making a ruckus to get Pikachu in a felt hat.
I get it, dude. I want this damn Pikachu. I'd be right there. You'd see me. See me just trying my hardest to get this little hat on my little guy.
This looks like I'm looking into a different dimension.
Yeah. Scalpers at the Van Gogh Museum.
People want Pikachu wearing a hat this bad?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Gonna be worth a lot of money. And also, it's Pikachu in a hat. I get it. I entirely get it.
Remember when Roger said on the Next Gen podcast that it was time to kill Pikachu?
He did say that.
What the actual fuck?
He gave us, I have it in my notes app still, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Him. He gave us a list of like cute characters. It was like seven of them, and we had to decide to kill three of them. And he was ready to kill Pikachu.
That is,
you can listen to it this weekend on Patreon.com/kindoffunny.
I can't take that in my soul.
I think I deleted the note.
Good, good. No one should know that.
Wait, do I have a trash can?
This shit sucks. Oh, you have a trash can. Fuck okay. The scalper shit. Like I'm not a fan of that at all. Especially as someone that's really into collecting these things now. It really sucks. Next Tuesday, we're going to be doing a Pokemon 151 opening stream on this set, and I'm really excited.
Me, how's the collection going so far, Tim?
So I'm not opening them yet. Because I want to open them.
Well, yeah, but I know it was like hard for you to get some things, right?
It was real hard to even get the packs. This is like, this is going to be one of the most rare Pokemon card sets ever. The hardest ones to get because it's just the original 151, which is what everyone wants. So it's been difficult, but I got enough packs. A shipment came in that I was like, all right, cool. This is going to be good.
Garfield, Baby Yoda, Minions, Pikachu.
Specifically Bob the Minion from Minions.
Stitch, Baby Groot, Kirby.
Hold the fuck up.
You gotta kill three.
Oh, okay. I thought he wanted to kill all of these.
No.
You have to kill three.
Get the fuck away from my boy Stitch. Kill three.
He was also ready to kill Stitch. It was Pikachu, was Stitch, and then I forget who else.
Like, did he say Kirby? I feel like he
was
Kirby.
Kirby. Or no, he said Groot.
Which I was with him on Groot. Garfield, Baby Yoda, Minions, Pikachu, Stitch, Baby Groot, Kirby. You gotta kill three.
Damn, that's hard. If I had to kill three, I guess I'm killing the minions just because I don't care for them.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, like, I don't care about Garfield, but I respect him.
I mean, I'm the same. Like, but I killed Garfield because I do respect him, but I really like the other ones.
Yeah, at the end of the day, Pikachu's staying and Stitch is staying.
And honestly, Garfield just wants, you know, release from this mortal coil.
Yeah, Kirby won me over with Forgotten Land.
Yeah. I killed Baby Groot.
Baby Groot. I fucking love the opening of Guardians 2 so much.
It's the only part of that movie I really like.
But I Grogu, he's had his ups, he's had his downs.
He did a cool flip, though, remember, Tim?
He did a sweet flip. Yeah, I guess I would take Grogu over Baby Groot, so.
R.I.P. I like when Grogu be like.
Yeah, he does that a lot. Gia just
fucking idiot.
Gia
baby.
Just got a sweater that like does the little like bunchy thing here, and every time she wears it, she just looks like Baby Yoda. And sometimes I see her doing this shit. You know what I mean? When she doesn't have her glasses on, and it fucking kills me every time.
Dan in the chat who says Stitch is overrated. Time yourself out.
The VGM in the chat said, "Did Bless say Guardians 2 is the only one he likes?" No. It's the reverse. Guardians 2 is the only one I don't like. I like the beginning of that movie. I like the opening with Baby Groot. I thought that was entertaining. And I think the prison scene I liked too, but I forget what even happened in that one. Story number 6, MetaQuest 3 launches in October. This is Tom Ivan at VGC. Meta has announced that Quest 3, its next generation virtual and mixed reality headset, will launch on October 10th. Prices start at $499.99 for a 128GB headset, with a 512GB model priced at $650. Both models will come with a free copy of Action RPG sequel. Wait for it, Tim. Asgard's Wrath 2. You hype?
Whoa!
You hype for Asgard's Wrath 2?
Dang, dude.
Let's fucking go. When it's released in December. As part of a running promotion until January 27th, 2024. The 512GB model will also come with a 6-month MetaQuest Plus trial. Normally priced at $7.99 per month or $59.99 annually, the subscription service gives subscribers 2 VR titles on the first day of every month. During a Meta Connect 2023 presentation on Wednesday, Mark Zuckerberg announced that a version of Roblox optimized for VR is launching for Quest headsets today. Meta's CEO also said Xbox Cloud Gaming is coming to MetaQuest 3 in December. Meta said in June that Quest 3 is the first headset to feature a next-gen Snapdragon chipset developed in collaboration with Qualcomm, which delivers over twice the graphical performance as the GPU in Quest 2. The headset features a 40% slimmer optic profile than Quest 2 and redesigned Touch Plus controllers, quote, with a more streamlined and ergonomic form factor, end quote. Meta also said hand tracking will be supported out of the box, so you can explore without controllers, thanks to Direct Touch that lets you use just your hands to interact with virtual objects. Quest 3 will be compatible with Quest 2's library of over 500 VR games, apps, and experiences.
Can you bring the video back up? Why does the headset look like Isaac Clarke from Dead Space?
Can you? Yeah, I need to see this. I didn't notice that. Does it really?
Yeah, maybe like sideways, but like there's just like weird little like lines on it. Yeah.
See, I read it as what's the game Roger likes?
Sniper Elite.
Splinter Cell.
It reminded me of Splinter Cell.
It looks like it's one of those things where like there's a button on the side, and if I click the button, laser shootout.
Yeah. Sick. Well, I mean, hey, Meta Quest 3, they're out here. I feel like the VR side of things is always a complicated thing for us to talk about. But I
love
like,
Meta Quest.
Yeah, the Meta Quest kind of has done it right, and I feel like the wireless nature of it all, like they really, I think, are honing in on actually delivering a product to a mainstream, at least more mainstream audience of like, hey, this is the one. This is the thing you should use that most people will be like, okay, I could wrap my head around this, and it doesn't feel as weird and techy and like a whole setup process to it all.
Yeah.
And it so far, in my experience, the Meta Quest just works. Whereas the other things, there's a little more like finicky stuff going on.
I feel that. Story number 7, our final news story for the day. Counter-Strike 2 is out now. This is Emma Roth.
What the fuck?
At The Verge. Counter-Strike 2, the highly anticipated upgrade for CSGO, has finally arrived. Valve announced today that it's launching CS2, which comes with some major updates like improved smoke grenades, redesigned maps, and improved network features. After years of rumors, Valve announced CS2 in March and opened up a limited test. The updated game is based on Valve's Source 2 engine, giving the game a much-needed facelift, reworked audio, UI enhancements, and upgraded community workshop tools. There's even a new tick-rate-independent gameplay that Valve describes as a way for servers to know the exact instant that motion starts, a shot is fired, or a nade is thrown. You can download the 27GB CS2 for free from Steam, with this listing directly replacing the more than 10-year-old CSGO. All the items you collected in CSGO will be available in CS2, while stock weapons will also get an enhanced look thanks to the Source 2 engine. You excited for some Counter-Strike 2?
I am so excited for my friends and for the Counter-Strike community out there. This is wild. Like, I just can't believe that it's real and that it happened. Like, Counter-Strike getting a sequel is like chess getting a sequel. Where it's just like it just doesn't happen. Like you get the you know.
I'm super hyped for when Solitaire 2 comes out.
Yeah, it'll happen eventually.
I really hope it does because I don't count that Spider Solitaire bullshit.
No,
that's a lie. I actually really like Spider Solitaire. Oh shit, Baird's found Chess 2, the sequel.
Chess 2,
it has mixed reviews.
I love it, but yeah, I mean Counter Strike. You know, it started as a mod and then it turned was modded many times, and throughout the growth of Steam, honestly, Counter Strike kind of was like right there. Similar to Fortnite with Epic, of just like how everything's kind of advanced and changed. I feel like Counter-Strike was really core to the Steam strategy and the Source engine. And like anytime that there'd be an advancement, Counter-Strike was kind of like the, oh shit, like that is the standard. Can't wait to see what it looks like in Source or now Source 2 or whatever. I am still surprised that Counter-Strike 2 is real and that it's out now, this year of all years.
Like, of course. Yeah, 2023 would be the year that Counter-Strike 2 comes out.
100%, man. It's absolutely nuts. And yeah, I haven't really heard if people are liking it or not, but
I didn't know people still I knew people still played Counter-Strike.
Yes, it's
but
huge.
Like I don't hear people talk about Counter-Strike.
But
in the same way that I'm sure people are playing StarCraft.
But it's the same thing people are playing Dota and people playing League of Legends, where we know, we just don't know.
But like even Dota and League of Legends I hear about. Like I think maybe Valorant being like the new fresher thing might overtake some of that conversation.
Counter-Strike's huge. Counter-Strike has never faltered.
That's all. I mean, that's the thing too, is that when I go to the Steam top 10 games being played, like the player base shit, Counter-Strike's always in there. And so I know for a fact people are playing it. It's just like, it's like Trump supporters back in 2016, where it's like, I don't see y'all on the wild. Like, I know y'all are
clearly there.
You're clearly there because he won, but like, I don't run into y'all.
Yeah.
And so, not to compare y'all to Trump supporters, obviously. I like Counter-Strike 2 players way more. Tim, I'm very excited for whenever Counter-Strike 3 comes out. Mm-hmm. But Valve, they can't count to three.
No.
If I want to know what's coming out to Mongrel shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every week. That was some Greg Miller energy.
It really was.
Somebody said currently 1.3 million players for Counter-Strike. Insane. Out today, we got Infinity Strash, Dragon Quest, The Adventure of Dive for PS5, Xbox Series X, PS4, Switch, and PC. Sonic Frontiers, The Final Horizon for PS5, Xbox Series X, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Pizza Possum for PC, PS5, Xbox Series X, and Switch. And then Wild Mender for PC, PS5, Xbox Series X.
I really wish you had more time and that we didn't have Spider-Man 2 codes, because I want you to play Sonic Frontiers The Final Horizon and then let me know how cool it is.
I'm sure it's great. What's this? Is this Pizza Possum? Because I also wanted to know.
I needed to
fuck
know.
Fuck yeah, we need to know. When we saw the trailer that they showed for the DLC, like, we see Sonic seemingly go into some new supersonic form with the blue eyes. I need to know what's going on there. So maybe a YouTube video.
Pizza Possum actually is a fucking sick concept. He's a little fucker who likes to steal pizza. Any of the, like, steal pizza and run away from people who want to stop you from eating the pizza.
Hell yeah. I mean, that's what possums do.
And the character they were talking to is named Bella Chonky. Good for Pizza Possum.
New dates for you. City Skylines 2 has been delayed on consoles until spring 2024. Nintendo will release a new batch of tracks for F-Zero 99 on September 29th.
Sick.
Teardown is coming to PS5 on November 15th. And then PlayStation did a whole, like, PSVR game announcement thing where every 15 minutes this morning they announced a new VR game. The Foglands launches October 31st on PSVR 2 and PS5. Ooh. Tire Blade pounces onto PSVR 2 November 17th.
Wow.
And then Journey to the Foundation launches October 26th on PSVR 2. Deals of the day for you. Godlike Burger will be free to claim on the Epic Games Store from October 5th through the 12th. And then the next batch of free titles to be offered to Amazon Prime members have been revealed. On October 5th, you're getting Grund. October 5th, you're getting Ghostwire Tokyo. On the 12th, you're getting The Coma 2, Vicious Sisters, Deluxe Edition. You're also getting Monster Prom 2, Monster Camp. And then on the 19th, you're getting Golden Light. On the 26th of October, you're getting Super Adventure Hand. Tim?
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time for a quick squad up for you. The Portland Kevin writes in with a real-life squad up and says, "What's up, Lesson Tim? This Saturday," that's in 2 days, this Saturday is the planned KF meetup at the Lucky Lab Public House in Portland. Just a quick reminder that we are seeing an uptick in COVID cases across the country. So if you're feeling lousy or think you may have been exposed, please play it safe and stay home or wear a mask. I want this to be a good time, but I also want to help protect any possible immune compromised best friends out there and stop the continuing spread of COVID. Otherwise, looking forward to hanging out with any KFBFs in the area. And please get your flu and COVID boosters. That's from Portland, Kevin.
Hell yeah.
Let's go. Lucky Lab Public House in Portland. Have some fun this Saturday.
Very cool.
It's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Where you write in, let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong, so we can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe. Kebab says, clarification, Pokemon Blue and Green came out in 1996, 27 years ago. Red and Blue, the international versions, were released
There's no fucking correction then. You're wrong.
Yes. They were released 25 years ago internationally in the U.S. where we live.
So he was right. Kebabs.
That's what he said.
Kebabs.
He said U.S. release. Bander SN said the snake revealed in Super Mario Brothers Brawl was voiced by Japanese VO Akio Atsuka. And then Radic said, Tim, Chess already has a sequel titled Chess 2, the sequel, available on Steam, which we already got. Appreciate that, Radic.
That's a Chess 2.
What do you think the rules are to Chess 2?
I think it's just normal chess, but dumber.
Normal chess, but blank. I was like, honestly, if I try to come up with Chess 2, that's what I come up with too. Yeah. I'm like, how do I improve chess? I don't know. I'll just put a 2 on it.
We got abilities or something, skill trees.
That's what they did with Overwatch, like, right?
RPG
they
just put a 2 elements. On
it. That is what they did with Overwatch. Yeah, they just put it, but they removed one player.
Oh, okay.
And so it's like, yeah.
Okay, so one this time pawn. It'll be chess, but we're gonna remove 2 pawns.
Fuck, that's crazy. That changes the whole game.
Yeah.
Now my rookie can go anywhere from the start because I assume you're removing them from the ends, unless they're gonna remove them.
Oh, from the front.
Like, or what if you get to choose
your hero character, king and queen?
Everyone gets a hero character. You get to choose from a selection of different pieces. Each one has a different ability, but like, you know what I mean? I think we solved chess too.
And then here's the way we monetize that, right? Because then we'll keep selling different packs of different heroes forever, and people will just keep buying them.
And then we can get acquired by a big company and then eventually get laid off.
Jesus. Oh, Jesus Fuck. Christ. God damn.
You got it down.
Listen, there's a game out there called Shotgun King. It's a fun chess roguelite. Instead of playing our chess, too, just go play that chess.
Oh, I have an idea for chess, too.
What's that?
What if we just made it an extraction shooter?
Fuck. Do you want us to fail? It's gonna get canceled before it gets out the door. God damn it, Tim. You just ruined chess. Tomorrow's host for Kind of Funny Games Daily are going to be me and the one and only Steve Saylor, special guest. Of course, this has been KFGD. Each and every weekday live right on YouTube.com/KindofFunnyGames and Twitch.tv/KindofFunnyGames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. Till next time, Game Daily.
Alex Trace Animal says chess traction.
Chess traction. Oh, that's really good.
Oh, man. That is actually hilarious. So hilarious. Bless, I need to tell you something.
Tell me something.
All right. Mm-hmm. I was going to gaslight you today, but I decided not to.
I appreciate it.
You know?
Yeah. I'm really easy to gaslight.
A second ago, you said boosters weird.
Yeah.
Boasters or something like that. I went to Starbucks today, as I often do. And the Starbucks I go to is near a Jollibee.
Mm-hmm.
Jollibee is the logo says Jollibee, and then under it says Home of the Chicken Joy.
Yeah.
So I looked at that and I had this moment where I was like, chicken joy. I was like, it's weird that it's joy, but it's jolly. Joy, jolly. It's different, right?
Yeah.
I was like, can I convince Blessing that it's not Jollibee, that he's been saying it wrong, that it's actually Joilibee?
You would never be able to do that. I go to Jollibee enough.
But you never heard it though. You know what I mean?
Well, no, that's the thing is like, I think we had this conversation where it's like, why is it called Jollibee? And it's because the mascot is a bee and he's jolly.
And he's jolly.
Yeah.
But then it's Home of the Chicken Joy.
Which I never got to the bottom of Chicken Joy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
I feel like
I could have started like Joy setting the seeds for you. You know what I mean? I don't think you would have believed me immediately.
I would not have believed.
But anyway, that's why I didn't do it. I didn't think I could actually pull it off.
Fair enough.
You know?
I mean, listen, I am not that hard of a person to gaslight.
Mm-hmm.
If you just put in a little bit more effort, you would have got me there. I would have been sitting here like tearing on my hair. I would have been rocking back and forth and shit. Like, what the fuck is happening? Joilibee! That's where I get my chicken sandwiches from. You're telling me it's been wrong this whole time?
Oh, man. Anyways, it's the Kind of Funny Super Chat post show fun time where you can write in with your super chats over on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or subscriptions and resubscriptions over on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Right now it is September.
See,
so it's the last week of September.
If you want to gaslight me, the way you would do it is say that we discussed this in the meeting. Bear hosting
we didn't.
No, no.
This was a call I made 5 minutes ago because I realized that supposed to be on isn't here.
Every time this happens, we're like, I don't recall. Like, I'm like, did we talk about this during the meeting? Was I just not paying attention?
No.
This is how you gaslight me.
Andy hit me up and was just like, hey Tim, can you just handle the post show? Just
gotcha. Us. Do you have all the stuff in the background?
Here's the thing. I went to get it and I don't have it. So do you have it, Baron?
I have them on Twitch and YouTube separately.
Fantastic.
So I have access to it. So let's start over on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames where Waleed sent us $2 Canadian and says some great PSVR 2 release dates in PS blog post today. I'm sure a lot of fantastic games were announced.
I will say, what was this game? Tiger Blade looks interesting. Okay. Like, the art style looks fun. Mm-hmm. It's that tough thing with VR where I'm like, all these games look like the same game in different fonts. Right? It's just like a first person action shooter slash
them up.
Some hands floating around and you're going through hallways in a fast pace and you're doing action shit.
Yeah.
Tiger Blade has a cool art style though.
If it's not Astro, I don't care.
I feel that. God, what? Let's make more Astro type games, developers. I know that's a tough ask because Astro is fucking very good and had a lot of budget.
Just
and had
do
a lot
3D
of time.
Platformer in VR.
Yeah. I want to see more of it.
King Ryan James sent us $2 and says, Tim, thoughts on translucent analog pockets, which I know we did talk about yesterday.
We did. I love that they exist. I think it's awesome. The analog pocket is easily one of the coolest pieces of tech I've ever seen. Its screen is unlike anything I've ever experienced. Like, the fact that it can make Game Boy games look that good, like, the sheer resolution of it is silly. It's just silly. And it is funny because it's like, it makes any game just look so much better. Great quality hardware. Like, it's authentic. It's not ROMs and stuff. Like, it's playing real shit the right way. So, yeah, highly recommend it. It's hard to get. It's expensive. But if you're into that stuff at all, I do think that it is. It's the right move. Translucent colors, cool as fuck. Come on.
They're never not cool.
Quick breaking news for you. Disney Speedstorm is now free to play on PlayStation.
Hey, that's cool.
Yeah. Mm. Go race around.
Like on PS Plus or whatever?
No, I think just free to play.
Oh.
Yeah. Huh. I assume that goes for all platforms it's on.
Gotcha. Shout out to Rooster Teeth, who rated us at the beginning of the stream over on Twitch. Thank you so much for that. Hold on. Let me actually filter this. I don't need... Let's just
let Barrett filter.
I'm just gonna filter here.
What does your shirt say, Tim?
It's a track list from Nikki Jakey's album Rom Com.
Oh yeah, I've seen the shirt before.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. You listen to that Nikki Jakey music?
I do.
Is it good?
I love it. Yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah. It's very, very Tim music.
Okay.
Let me say that.
All right.
The Indie Boy resubscribed with Prime for 82 months. Onus Prime resubscribed with Prime for 43 months. It says, let's go, baby. Busy news day. It's Zergy resubscribed with Prime for 17 months. It says, hey-o. Oak Toasted resubscribed for 1 month at Tier 1 for 24 months. CDJ Gamer resubscribed for 19 months. Dusan Man 360 resubscribed with Prime for 25 months. JK O'Cole subscribed with Prime for the first time.
Jermaine?
Thank you, JK.
I'm a big fan.
Mm-hmm.
I love 2014 Forest Hills Drive.
We Are All Geeks resubscribed with Prime for 67 months. And True Ethorian resubscribed with Prime for 38 months. It says, finally, my Twitch sub showed up. Hell yeah. Thank you all so much for the Twitch subs. Just as a reminder, it's the very end of September. I don't know what the exact deals are, but I know it's a big deal. So don't forget, September. Ending in a couple days. Over back on YouTube, Dan H. sent us $3 and says, Wolverine cameo in Spider-Man 2 for sure, right?
So here's the thing. Up until now, I've been like, no. But... hold on, I gotta find who it was. Somebody over there at Insomniac. No, that's not him. Is there a Chad at Insomniac or like... God, I lost
just
the person.
A dude named Chad?
Is there a guy named Chad or is there like somebody last name Horton?
Chad?
Chad Horton.
Chad Horton is a different person that I know from a different website. And so I got mixed up with some... But like somebody over at Insomniac was tweeting out... Somebody like we know. Somebody very popular at Insomniac.
Okay.
Was tweeting out
James
some
Stevenson?
Stuff. No. I think it might be more... PR role? Maybe lead dev role. But like they're tweeting out
Brian Horton was the writer.
Brian Horton
on Miles Morales.
That's who I'm thinking of.
Or
Brian Horton.
Horton, the creative director.
Because we interviewed Brian Horton before.
Yeah. For the spoiler cast.
So Brian Horton over on his Twitter was tweeting out references to like crossovers, like Spider-Man Wolverine crossover.
And he's also the director on Wolverine.
Wait, I'm trying to find a specific tweet.
Oh, well, no, here's the thing, though. I don't think that that's as much of a hint. I mean, without seeing it, there's a new Spider-Man Wolverine comic crossover that's happening.
Is this it?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. He tweeted out Worlds Collide to hashtag Wolverine, hashtag Spider-Man. And it's a picture of the new comic, The Amazing Spider-Man number 592. And so I saw this and I was like, I didn't realize that this is a new comic. And so I was like, is he referencing something? Is this like a reference to fucking like the crossover?
Yeah, that is.
You crossing these characters over? Because like y'all would be the people that would cross these characters over if you could.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Hold on, am I wrong about this? Give me a sec.
I'm just saying, it's very interesting.
Yeah, no.
I think he's just excited for the comic.
No. Hold on. That is an old comic cover.
Oh.
All right, so we're back on. We're back on, everybody.
We're back, everybody.
We're back. I just saw that. Like, I don't know if it means anything. I think it could mean something, but like I'm not using this as confirmation.
Yeah. No, but you're right though. I was with you where I was like, nah, it's not gonna happen. But like,
this is an interesting thing, right? The Amazing Spider-Man cover with the Wolverine mask on it.
Yep.
As we're about to get Spider-Man 2,
damn,
from Brian Horton, the director of Wolverine. That's all I'm putting out there. That's all I'm putting. Y'all make y'all own judgment.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I'm just putting that out there.
Let's see. Biggs sent $2 and says, y'all hear about the lawsuit over the KOTOR 2 DLC? I know there's drama over the KOTOR 2 just in general, like dropping on Switch. I remember there was like, could, like, it was so bugged you couldn't even, like, finish the game or stuff, but...
Fan who waited for a Star Wars DLC sues over broken promises. This is Ethan Gotch at Kotaku. This is published Tuesday. A new gamer lawsuit rises. 3 months after Aspyr said it was abandoning promised DLC for the remaster of Knights of the Old Republic 2, someone is suing the publisher for failing to make good on its original promise or to offer a refund when that was no longer possible. The class action lawsuit was filed by Malachi Michelonis. That's a sick name. Earlier this summer. Malachi, that's biblical. Michelonis, that's your last name?
That's pretty dope.
God dang. Earlier, I'll get this ad out of here. Get to the guys. See, this is why people get ad blockers. Earlier this summer, and accuses Aspyr of fake advertising. He apparently bought the game, but never actually played it. The lawsuit alleges he was waiting for the restored content DLC before starting the game on Switch. Oops. And then it goes on, but very interesting.
Yeah.
Really quick, if y'all have noticed, sometimes when I look at myself in the Kev cam here that we have set up and I get freaked out, it's because I'm not looking at the camera, but my eyes will be looking at the camera. And I looked up, I opened up NVIDIA Broadcast and Kevin had selected the option to have the camera do the auto
eye thing.
And it's really fucking freaky. Oh, and it's been tripping me out for the last fucking week. And I can't believe I finally figured it out.
That's funny.
God damn. Also, Kevin put in a button on the Stream Deck that says, press me, Bear.
Do it.
You might shut down the show.
I think it's the Buscemi eyes.
Well, no, you just changed the set.
Those are the Buscemi eyes.
Steve Buscemi's eyes.
Oh, shit. Wait, when did...
Saw 4 in review, everybody. Go check it out.
I thought this was the gaslighting. I was like, there's nothing there.
If we want to talk about gaslighting, Kevin's very good at it.
It's not real.
That motherfucker back there is not real.
Oh, man. M. Night.
People are saying we don't see anything. Rewind back and just, like, squint your eyes a little bit.
Yeah.
It was hard to see on the screen. This time, I don't know why. I guess the in review set.
Can you turn it off
really
and turn it back
clear.
On? Because yeah, right now you should be able to see it very faintly.
Like you should be able to see it.
Like this is what it is.
It's hard to see, but like his nose is right here, and his eyes are up there.
Yeah, somebody in chat says I see it.
M. Night Shyamalana sent us. I can't tell because there's some weird emoji covering it, but they sent us some amount of Canadian dollars and say, bless, how many outfield players in your soccer league? Also, good luck tonight.
So there's not an outfield in soccer.
Yeah,
I think that's why I chuckled. Reference to the guy who said, I've never played a sport. it's a 8v8 soccer league. And so obviously like one goalkeeper. So you got 7 people on the field. And right now the spread that I think we're going to try and go for positioning, I think we might do like a... Oh, does this math out? 3-2-2? 3-2. Yeah. So like 3 defenders, 2 midfield, 2 strikers. Or maybe like 3-1-3. Everybody from the 3-1-3.
It's impossible. It's impossible. I knew there was no way.
You know, fucking hands up and follow me.
Love it.
Yeah. So that's what we're working with.
Kevin came into the room. I was distracted for a second. And then he started doing like the little like kind of like he needs to go pee dance.
Oh yeah.
And I told him like just go pee. He's like, I don't need to. I'm just doing this dance for you.
Kevin's
got an energy.
He has an energy too. I like
it. Yep. Wesley Dunkerton sent us $4 and says, Tim, I just finished getting 120 stars in Super Mario Galaxy. Needed to share with someone who'd care. What a damn game. Gussie Garden Galaxy slaps.
Oh,
let's go.
My God. The music in Galaxy. Completely unraveled. We don't talk about it enough. We really
don't.
No, we don't.
Music in Galaxy, we don't talk about it enough.
We don't talk about why it's important.
Okay.
Because it is one of the first video games, period, to just use actually orchestrated music. I'll never forget seeing the video of Gussie Garden Galaxy being recorded in a fucking real studio with real instruments. And then you see that shit in the game. It made it feel so much better. More grand, and the scope was limitless. Like Mario Galaxy fucks so hard.
It does.
And we don't talk about that enough. We talk about how good it is. We talk about, oh, it's one of the best games of all time. We don't talk enough about how hard it fucks, Blessing.
I think we talk about the soundtrack a lot. I don't know.
But not in terms of like why it made it all special. Mm-hmm. It The soundtrack elevates Mario Galaxy and makes it so much more than it would have been otherwise.
I agree with that, actually.
Say about so many games, yeah. It's different with Galaxy.
I totally agree with that. I think, yeah, if you stripped away the music from Mario Galaxy, it obviously still be a good game. But, like, yeah, the music, I think, is the thing that turns it from good to magical.
Yeah, oh, straight the fuck up.
What else you got for us, Barrett?
Sorry, I was just looking at Tom Mark's review for the new Avatar game, and it's one of the worst games he's ever played.
New Avatar game?
Yeah, The Last Airbender.
Oh, gotcha.
The good Avatar.
I thought
not
that was a really
people.
Early review for like the blue person Avatar.
No. Let's see. Let's go to Brian Murphy.
Can you imagine? They got Nordstrom's on their planet. They're just wearing regular people clothes, like fucking t-shirts and jorts. Like, get the grow up.
Blessing not watching Avatar and just like
learning about it.
Why are they wearing human clothes?
Fucking funniest.
Why do they look like that? And they're wearing fucking Nikes and they're wearing.
Because those are the avatars.
They're wearing fucking Adidas shorts.
So
and they're wearing fucking, like, they went to Express and they're wearing the fucking V-necks.
It's so funny.
Oh, God. Avatar is really funny, dude.
Avatar is so good. So fucking good.
Nobody ever talks about it.
It's fine. Brian Murphy sent us €6.
That's talking about it. Everybody does that.
Brian Murphy sent us €6 and says, in Marvel Snap, you could add a card of a character not yet used. If you could add a card of a character not yet used, who would it be and what power would they have, Timmy?
I don't know, man. They'd be getting crazy with this shit already. Like, it's getting to the point that I'm like, I don't, they've done it all. I don't know how they're going to keep going. Like, I feel like the abilities are so varied. I don't have a good answer here. I am having a good time, though.
I imagine it's a balancing nightmare to have that many cards and many builds.
They have to change shit constantly. They're nerfing cards, they're powering up cards, like, buffing all the time. And it gets a little stressful for me where I'm like, God damn it. Like I'm so used to a card having certain power and then it doesn't. And I'm like, well, I lost because I didn't pay attention. Yeah. It's a me problem.
I've told you before that like I'm wanting to make a card game with my friends. Right. And I've already I made multiple versions of it. And it's so wild trying to make a game like that isn't automated. Right. Because the nice thing about Marvel Snap is that you just play cards and it does everything for you in terms of keeping up the score and all that stuff. So trying to make a version of that is smaller scale, but then also is made for you trying to keep score yourself so fucking hard.
Yeah.
I cannot crack this thing, but I'm going to.
I believe.
I'm going to.
Bless is going to crack it. Colin in the chat put in the right answer to him. Shirtless Spider-Man.
Of course.
Oh, that is a great answer. Of course. That's a great
answer. That'd be like a great variant for Spider-Man.
Yeah. Get on it.
Live to Die sent us $2 and asks, your album of the year for 2023, Guts number one for me.
Is it really?
For the writer, not for Barrett.
No, yeah. Still, that surprises me.
Who did Guts?
Olivia Rodrigo.
Really, really enjoy the album. Can't say I love it, but I really enjoy it.
I'm in the same place.
I've listened to it many, many times.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. I think my album of the year currently is Nas's Magic 3.
Mm-hmm.
I've been listening to that album nonstop for the last few weeks.
Yeah, I feel like in terms of recent stuff, I think that by default is my answer based on how much I've listened to it, and I do enjoy it more than Guts. It was late 2022, and it's an EP, but Rom-Com by Naked Jakey, I would put up there in the last 365 days of the year. That's probably my most listened to thing.
Shout out to Travis Scott's album.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one got a lot of plays out of me when that came out, and then still Scaring the Hoes. Is one that's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
Whenever I'm like I'm in my car and I need some like turn that shit up type music, Scaring the Hoes. This is great for that. Yeah.
Yeah. It hasn't really been a great music year for me, I'd say.
I agree. Yeah. The new Doja album came out. I was very underwhelmed by the Doja
album.
Yeah. Like it sucks because I've been an advocate for, hey, if Doja drops a rap album, she's about to show all y'all up. Like, I think Doja Cat is very talented. I think lately there's been like some wavering in terms of a little bit of the quality of her music, but like, you know, I was looking forward to this album. It's fine. I think the raps on it are a bit elementary.
Yeah.
I was hoping for a lot more. Like, the music's fine, though.
Mine is No Joy by Spanish Love Songs. If you're ever looking for some, like, 80s emo, like, similar to The Cure, a lot of, like, synth, a lot of just, like, sad vibes, but also a lot of, like, good, just kind of like working through your feelings vibes. Very great album.
Somebody in chat said I got to listen more UK rap. I did listen to the Dave Central C EP. Pretty good. Pretty good.
Dave is incredible.
Dave is fantastic. And,
oh my God.
Is Dave the one that Tamora really likes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember like a couple of years ago because he was talking to Dave a lot. I listened to a couple of his releases, and yeah, he's fucking really good.
One album I want to give a shout out to, and it's just on some pure bullshit level, but like, I'm not lying. I've listened to this thing so many times. Baby Gravy 3 by Young Gravy.
Of course you do. It's of course
fucking,
you do.
Dude, it's pure just ignorant, fun-ass music, man. There's a song called Super Smash Brothers. It's fucking awesome. Horrible.
I had a Young Gravy phase in like 2018, 19.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was very much like, I think it must have been 2018, because I think it was when I first finally subscribed to Spotify.
Uh-huh.
And was like, you know what, I'm gonna stop putting music on my iPod, because I was like one of the last offenders. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm gonna stick by my iPod, I'm gonna have all my music like owned and all this shit. And then I finally gave up. But Spotify, of course, in the way it works, I leave it all up to the algorithms, find me new music. And I happened upon Young Gravy, and for like a few months there I was like, yo, this guy has the stuff.
He does.
And then I moved on. I was like, okay, I need to stop.
The stuff is the same stuff over and over and over. But hey, I like it, man.
He's a fun guy. He's
fun as shit. He's 6'8".
A few more to get through, and then we're going to go over to one, Andy the Nitro Rifle Cortez playing, I don't know. CJ Splitson sent us $5 and says, we should get a community effort to make October 20th Spider Mario insert better portmanteau day with red and blue color schemes. Damn, they are both red and blue.
Yeah. Patriotic. Yeah. Shout out.
Yeah. Metal Baby Mario sent us $5 and says, when are we going to see the kind of anime boys Mike and Barrett get some dubs in My Hero Ultra Rumble?
Have you seen this, Barrett? The My Hero Battle Royale?
Yeah, it's been going around. Like, there have been like trailers and stuff for it for a long time. Is it out?
Yes, I want to say it's either out or about to come out.
Mm.
Like, I saw the date was like, whenever I looked at it was like, oh shit, this thing's about to drop. And it looks kind of cool.
Yeah, 8 hours ago, official launch trailer with an Aizawa reveal. Yeah, I don't know. Probably not. It's too
I don't
busy.
Know.
It's too busy.
Here's the thing. I tried playing the Dragon Ball Z Battle Royale that came out a year ago, Dragon Ball The Breakers. It was not good. It was really bad.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, like, whenever I look at something like this now, I'm like, well, this is going to be another battle, Dragon Ball The Breakers. That said, if I was, like, a super My Hero fan, I think I'd look at this and be like, you know what? I'll give it a shot. It looks like it could be fun, but it's
maybe
a weird genre.
Maybe Mike and I get on a stream to fuck around and try it out, you know? Maybe.
Real quick, I want to read a tweet by Hideo Kojima. Mm-hmm. He tweeted 10 hours ago. Gaming is a technology-dependent medium that can evolve, but never degenerate. So once you take your foot off the technological ladder, you will never be able to climb it again. If you take your eyes off the ladder for even a moment, you'll find that the times have moved up several steps. If you're only focused on the horizontal expansion, you are in danger.
Good for him.
Put it on my tombstone.
Spitting bars on just a random Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah.
What does it mean? When is he revealing the next game?
Hey, Tim, I want to run you through some stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at my Spotify right now to like even remember what albums came out this year. I'm looking through. Red Veil popped up on my thing. I think you would like Red Veil. I don't know if you've listened to Red Veil.
Mm-mm.
I think you would enjoy Red Veil. He's a youngin.
Okay.
But he's out there putting out some really good music. The Pink Tape came out from Lil Uzi. It was fine. Killer Mike put out an album called Michael. It was decent. It was good. I'll say it was good. It's not my favorite, but I would say it's a pretty good album.
I'll check that out.
Yeah, I'll definitely recommend. If you're a big Run the Jewels person, I'll definitely recommend it. And then the SZA album came out at the end of last year. If that came out in January, that would very easily be my album of the year. Because goddamn,
yeah,
SZA album. I'm still listening to it. They dropped a version of Snooze featuring Justin Bieber, and it's acoustic.
Wow.
Like, damn, like, that was a reaction.
God damn.
Oh my little god, I love it.
God, Shay Shalai, I never know how to say it just because I'm confused because of how Mike pronounces it. Sent us $2 and says, would you trade your pet for a Pokemon?
No, not a goddamn chance in the world. There's nothing I love in my life more than Musa Toretto.
They're the would you turn your pets into a Pokemon?
I mean, they essentially are. That's the thing. You know what I mean? The amount of times I look at Moose and the way he's treating me is like the way Pikachu treated Ash in episode 1, where he just shocks him a little bit.
If you can give Moose 4 Pokemon abilities.
Oh, Jesus.
What 4 are you giving him?
I mean, I would take away Bark. I'd forget that move for sure.
Roar.
What the fuck is happening?
The sirens are on our...
Oh, it's outside. Yeah. That sounded like it was in the building, though, and I thought Nick was about to fucking come in.
I mean,
in,
maybe.
Like,
yeah, maybe Kevin and Nick are doing something. Who knows?
Yeah. I don't know. But I already own Pokemon, and I'm very happy with them.
Oh, man,
same.
Give Moose flamethrower.
Fuck yeah! I mean, I do
ruin the house.
Like if I had to relate them to Pokemon, like in the games, I normally name my Arcanine Moose and my Jolteon Toretto, because Toretto kind of has like just fucking weird ass sporadic hair that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Also, we discovered recently that Toretto has different length legs. Which is why he walks.
Really?
I fucking love
really
it.
Cute.
Sometimes I, you know, tear up just thinking about like one day I'm gonna have to live a life without Lulu. So
don't
like,
do that. Don't ever think
I know.
That way.
I'm just really depressed.
I get it, dude. I get it. I think
so.
About
like
it.
Hell, fucking no. I'm not trading any fucking Pokemon for Lulu. Absolutely not.
Creed 3, the soundtrack by Dreamville, pretty good. Yeah. Talking about this year.
I mean,
good.
Also shout out to Barbie. Like,
oh yeah,
I feel like it's not consistent. Like, I feel like there's a lot of misses on that OST, but the overall vibe always hits. It's a fun thing to just put on the back, and you're gonna have a good time.
Also, Call Me If You Get Lost, the estate sale.
Oh yeah, I haven't listened to that. Oh, so is it really most good. Of just like the original album?
Yeah, it's just
like
it's a bonus
tracks?
Version with like seven more songs on it.
Also, Kind of Funny Games in the chat says, "Hey, stall for like 5 minutes. I gotta pee." And that's from Andy.
Let me tell you, Jack Harlow put out an album earlier this year called Jackman. And this is the thing. I'm about to defend my guy, Jack Harlow.
Okay.
Because a lot of people be hating on him. Mm-hmm. You know, because like his previous album, sure, didn't set the world on fire. Right. Like, and he's been a guy that's been given a lot of hype because he's that lovable man that people see on TikTok. And they're like, oh, man,
he's out here getting cuter.
He's only getting cuter. He's out here getting cuter. Jackman, pretty decent rap album. Like he got back to the rap on this one. And like, I really like it. And this one, I listened to it for a good maybe 3 weeks. And so, if you're looking for like some music, and I feel like you Tim might appreciate Jackman after saying that you like Young Gravy.
Yeah,
I feel like this might
be
up your alley.
No shame at all.
Daxborn over on Twitch resubscribed for 30 months and says we don't talk enough about the Kingdom Hearts soundtrack.
Okay, I'm going to shut it down here. We can't just talk about some of the most revered soundtracks of all time.
Bless, we don't talk enough about the Persona 5 soundtrack, okay?
We talk about the Kingdom Hearts soundtrack all the time. Simple and Clean is one of the greatest songs ever made.
But beyond that, though, people only think of Simple and Clean. They only think of Sanctuary. They only think of Face My Fears.
Face My Fears
they
is so
only
good.
Think of
so
Fate good. Of the Unknown. Mm-hmm. They only think of, you're right, they do talk about it a lot. No, real talk,
Dearly
though,
Beloved.
Yeah.
Come
we
on.
Don't talk enough about it, though. We just don't.
We don't.
We just
Face My
don't.
Fears is such a good song. I don't even fuck with Kingdom Hearts like that. It was so good that, like, when we were doing the Arkham Files, where I was doing my breakdowns of the Batman video games, like, Arkham Knight, the whole theme around that video was Facing Your Fears, and I wanted to use that song as a transition song at some point, but it wasn't the vibe.
When I went to Disneyland in July, I listened to Face My Fears the whole time. The whole time. It was fucking great.
Mr.
We don't
Hawks
talk about the Undertale soundtrack enough, you know?
We don't talk about the Undertale
this
soundtrack
is a really good soundtrack.
Megalovania.
Shout out to one Andy Cortez, my roommate, who surprised me with a nice little gift yesterday. He got me a sans Nendroid from Undertale. Was not expecting that.
Nice.
He does think about me.
Even though
he does leave his
here's
room.
The thing. Andy Cortez bullies the Undertale community.
He does.
He does.
Such a fuck, man.
And so,
Andy
like,
Cortez, underrated.
We don't talk about Andy Cortez.
We don't talk about Andy Cortez.
We don't talk about Andy Cortez enough.
Mr. Hawks 182, what's up? Fun thing about Mr. Hawks, Tim, I was doing my own stream last weekend where I got Blink 182 talk out of my system for like 2 hours straight. And Mr. Hawks and I learned that we produced the same Blink 182 message boards back in the day.
Love that.
And he was a mod, so him and I definitely talked at some point
That's
about Blink
awesome.
182, which is fucking awesome. But they sent in $2 and say, outfield player is a term in soccer, bless. Fucking
is
God,
it just not
awesome.
A goalkeeper?
I don't know.
I feel like we really use it, I guess. Outfield like, sure, you're an outfield player. You're just a player at that point. Somebody in chat said Undertale fans deserve to be bullied. I don't disagree. It's like Sonic fans, like, yeah, they deserve to be bullied as well. But like we're not all the same.
That's true. Because I'm not in that. Like I learned from my tattoo artist who gave me the Deku tattoo of like the amount of weird shit on Tumblr when it comes to Undertale, and I was like, I don't need to know. I just like that game. I'm not involved with that shit. Don't tell me, please.
It's like being a Rick and Morty fan, where it's like, yeah, sure, the fan base can be cringy. That doesn't mean that the core product is always like terrible. It's hard to say now after the whole Justin Roiland shit, but yeah. Like, you can be a fan of the core thing and not be lumped in with the people that are jumping in McDonald's fucking tables wanting the Szechuan sauce.
God, that was a fucking moment.
Remember
man.
That week? That was a terrible week.
That
remember
was.
That week? Remember when they introduced Pickle low. Rick and everybody lost their minds? I was like, all right, it wasn't that funny. Get it together. Get it together. Grow up. All right.
Man.
Grow up.
I don't know if that was enough time for Andy to pee.
No, he said he's done peeing.
Oh, he's done peeing. Yeah. All right, cool. Well, thank you all so much for joining us for the Kind of Funny Games Daily post show super chat fun time special edition with myself, Barrett Courtney, and the motherfucking Tim Geddes, and the second best baby blues in San Francisco, Blessing Eddie Oye Jr.
That's me.
Thank you all so much for joining us, and until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.